Hey guys, welcome back to another exciting episode of Ideologically Illogical. And here we are today to talk about something that everyone has on their mind. Well, actually not, maybe not, probably not. Some people do, some people don't, but anyway. Just being funny here. Guys, what we're going to look at today is giants. Why are they found in every culture's history, going back to prehistory and to specifically the pre-flood era, right? The time of supposedly the Atlantean times. And if you're familiar with my podcast, we're associating that with the 10,000 year mark, because that seems to be where we've had a major shift in land mass and water rising and things like that. Because prior to that, places like Doggerland existed. There's pyramids just off the coast of Japan, which were obviously dry land at the time. There was pyramids off of other coasts and other areas. So this is what we're talking about, all these changes over time. And one of the changes is, where did the giants go? And as a side note, I find it interesting that when we have the last evidence of giants, living giants, because even modern day photography has shown some pretty incredibly sized people. I'm sure you've all seen the pictures in your lifetime from here and there. And we just think of it as an abnormality, but maybe there's more to it than that, right? And that's the thing. So where did they go? And that's my whole point, is ironically, it seems that once the family lines, those that knew who they were erased. We'll get into that when we get back from this first break. Don't worry, I'll break it all down for you. But all of a sudden, around the same time as the disappearance of real giants, because they're in every culture's history and heritage, and around the same time as this disappearance, that's all I can say, right? Miraculously, like a miracle, that's about the exact same time dinosaur bones are discovered. Imagine that. And this would be late 1800s, early 1900s. And so imagine, to my surprise, with all the construction going on prior to, let's say, 1900, and no one ever came across a dinosaur bone? All right, guys, we'll be back. We're going to take this first scheduled break, and we'll break it all down when we get back. Stay tuned. Yeah, so I find that quite interesting, for one. I don't know about you guys, but it just seems magically and mysteriously that we never had any findings of any dinosaur bones ever in the history of mankind, until we ended having giants. So it's almost like there was a concerted effort to have a cover-up. So in case people stumbled upon, you know, a gravesite of giants, a mass gravesite of giants even, that they would have an excuse prepared and ready for it. Anyway, also, by the way, I don't know if you know this. You've never seen a dinosaur bone. I know you're thinking, oh, well, you know, I've been to the museum and I've seen the display, or I've seen the display in museums on movies and in TV. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Unfortunately, those are all made of plaster of Paris, and they're not real bone. There is no dinosaur bones on display anywhere. Think about that. Why not? And their whole thing is because they're in safekeeping, right? Oh, I see. So does that mean everything else that's on display is a fake? Is the Mona Lisa a fake and the real thing in safekeeping? I mean, where does it end? Stop the lunacy, people. Stop buying into this bullshit. But giants, they roam the planet, and it was so relevant in every culture, going back to the Abrahamic religions, which, remember, the Abrahamic religion spawned the three major monotheistic religions we have now. And so that's why it's very important that this metaphor, this reality, this belief system extends back into all of those. And it extends back to the Genesis tells of the Nephilim before and after Noah's flood, right? So according to Genesis 7:23, the Nephilim were destroyed in the flood, but Nephilim are reported after the flood, including in the Anakites, the Emites, the Amorites, and the Rephites. So, you know, I'm not real biblical, and anyone that is, they can go look up all that stuff and find everything there. But I just find it really interesting that it goes, you know, we can get traces of this all the way back. And even in Islam, the giants were known as the Jababirat or the Jabirum, right? And arrogant. Arabic, tyrants or giants, singular Arabic, right? Jabbar, such as Jalut, like Goliath. And they're all mentioned, right? As well as Ujibin and Anak. And the Book of Enoch describes all of these giants as the offspring of watchers and women of earth, right? And that's in 7:2. Now in Armenia, Hak, right? H-A-Y-K was known as the founder of the Armenian state. And Hak was part of a race of giants. And guess what, guys? He helped construct the Tower of Babel. And an ancient historian, Moses Koronatsi, wrote that Hak was very personable, had curly hair, sparkling eyes, strong arms, and he was among the giants. He was the bravest and most famous. Mount Nemrut is known to have received its name from in an Armenian tradition in which Nimrod, well, you've all heard of Nimrod, was killed by an arrow shot by Hak during a massive battle between two rival armies of giants to the southeast of Lake Van. And that's great because Armenia, right? You got the Armenian genocide, Iraq, Iran. This is the cradle of where it all happened, where it all came from. And so it's so beautiful when I keep researching history from different points and they all end up back at the same point, right? Which means it's a catalyst point in time that everything, like a spring, that everything else, you know, spawned from. But we even have in the Baltic, according to Baltic mythology, right? The playing of giantess named Naringa on the seashore formed the Curonian spit, right? Which is Neria, Nerj, and Naringia. And then, of course, the Basque. Now, if anyone's familiar with Basque and that area, which it really created the whole original Irish traditions and early Spanish traditions, as they're so intertwined with the Basque prior to the you know, Christianization of everything, right? This goes back to polytheistic times. And so Basque is very important if you're also a student of the Rh negative bloodline and things like that. And I'm not going to get into all that in this podcast, but if you're curious of all that, look up the Basque, and it's a very small area, and you'll see what all came from there and the languages that developed from there, which were still being used today and so forth. But anyway, they have a whole thing on giants too in the hills of the Basque County. And you know, the giants stand for the Basque people that were reluctant to convert to Christianity, right? Who decided to stick to the old lifestyle and customs in the forest. So this is very interesting because what this mythos, right, explains is that the giants were against the conversion from polytheism to monotheism. Oh. Ooh, and that might be why the powers that be would want to erase them off of the face of the earth and replace it with another mythos called dinosaurs. So that's interesting. And then we got the Bulgarian ones and with the Ispolini and, you know, I mean, there's just so many. The Greeks, obviously, right, with all of their Olympian gods, and the Hindu, in Hinduism, the giants are called Daityas, right? And they were the children of Diti, right? And the sage Kashyapa. And so it doesn't matter which heritage, which place on the planet, which origins you want to look at, even in Jain, right? In Jainism, we all know how strict Jainism is to be in like the most, you know, goody-goody two-shoes as far as walking that path. And they knew that there was a time when giants walked upon this earth. And it's explicit within the Jain cosmology and within their text and the Rishaba and this, that, and the other. But even the Native Americans, they've got the Sitaka, right? And they talk about the red-haired cannibalistic giants. You also have the ones, the Anasazis, and just a bunch of it, right? The Aztecs even feature the Queen of Metzen. And all these correlate with different previous solar eras. And this is very specific because I want you to understand we do a lot of segments on the podcast about solar eras, and the fact that the last podcast we did was the solar cycle that we're in now, which is solar cycle 25. So might want to check that one out. But then anyway, moving back onto the giants, Norse mythology, obviously, and I'm running out of time here, so I'm going to have to speed this up. You got the Ymir and Odin, and there's a big tale between those two and all the Icelandic legends that come with it. And then, of course, you got the Roman mythos with the Germania Superior and the Jupiter giant columns and everything that goes with all of that mythos. And I could go on and on and on. And I think you get the picture. It doesn't matter where you look on this planet, where you go, from which heritage, which history, the giants were there first. And they're in the Bible. They're present in all three main religions. And they were against monotheism. And so I think we need to reevaluate the fact that maybe this isn't all myth, but it's a reality. And then we have to ask our question, why are they extinct now? And I think I'm going to have to leave it with that because I've got like literally 30 seconds left. So ask yourself that question. If every culture has a history of giants and they're no longer here, they're extinct. Why? And how? And more importantly, who?